Just about the time. The time we say good morning to you in Dominica, the region, and the rest of the world. Wake up!
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much. What it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Up all the doctors, make the old people well.
If you love to hate me or hate to love me,
catch all the
I'm saying good morning.
They don't have
love to love me, I love you too. I'm talking about all of you.
To make them happy before they pass away. Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it. If we all lend a hand, the only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time.
Good morning, Dominica, the region, and the rest of the world.
Get no better if we just let it be.
Let me say good morning, first of all, congratulations to the Daddy Chess. He won King of Stardom last night, followed by Genius. Congratulations to you guys. Some big stories ahead. Kalal John Baptist will update us. Something is going on at the police headquarters, particularly the CID department. We'll tell you about that sometime later. But before we get to this, there's another big story, a big story surfacing at this time. This is the hot seat. You better sit tight. Guess who's in the house with me this morning? Leila Clinton, the leader of the opposition United Workers Party. I was hearing a lot of talk last night, Leila, that it was supposed to pick you up. A warrant was issued for your arrest. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that too, Matt.
You heard that too.
Yeah, I heard that was.
No.
I heard I was supposed to be picked up last night. But I haven't been picked up yet, so I don't know.
You slept comfortably last night?
Yeah, Matt, I usually do. Last night was just another night of comfortably sleeping in my bed.
All right, thank you very much.
I don't know. Every night I go to sleep, I wonder whether I wake up to the sound of police in my yard and knocking on my door and so on. So far, so good.
But there are some new developments besides, you know, rumors, if you will, at this time of your arrest. It appears that there's some new developments that you want to talk to the people about this morning.
Good morning, Matt, again. And good morning to the people of Dominica, the people of Concord and Marigot, our brothers and sisters at home and abroad. The matter
I think that the public needs to be carefully considering right now is what's happening with the government citizenship by investment program. Because I did disclose a couple of weeks ago that one of the international banks had closed down the government's citizenship by investment account, the account at that bank where the government was bringing in citizenship by investment revenues. And I made the observation then that the only reason the bank could have done that is because they were concerned about the quality of the money being used to pay for citizenship or passports in Dominica. That situation, Matt, is getting worse because it now appears that none of the international banks operating in Dominica want to touch the government's citizenship by investment money. So they will not handle it. They will not operate an account at their banks where government is bringing in money from the sale of passports or from citizenship by investment. That has left the government with the National Bank of Dominica, in which the government owns shares. But the National Bank of Dominica, of course, in order to bring in this money, is require a correspondent banking arrangement, and I understand that correspondent banking arrangement is with the Bank of America. The bank needs from the government, and I've said this before, copies of the due diligence reports that they have performed, the due diligence that they have performed on the persons sending money in to pay for their passports, wire transfers and so on. And my understanding is that the government has been refusing. So as a result of that, you had an amount of over $20 million, which I reported was frozen. The correspondent bank was holding that money pending receipt of the due diligence reports. Last week, I'm hearing there is a significant amount of money in excess of probably $10 million that has been returned. Some that has been returned to the various senders because the bank has not been able to see or the information request of the bank for these particular individuals sending the money have not been fulfilled. So a huge problem opens up as to how is the government going to bring in to Dominica its citizenship by investment revenues. It seems that the National Bank, through its correspondent bank, the Bank of America, is insisting on some information requirements that there appears to be a struggle to meet, or to meet in a timely manner. Because my understanding is that the bank is operating a system whereby if they make the request for the information and 2 weeks later they're unable to see or to get the information that they require, the money that they're holding will automatically go back to where it came from. Now, why is that significant? It is significant because in the 2016-2017 budget, the government projected that it would be raising $201.8 million from CBI, from passport sales, from passport revenue. $201.8 million. That amounted to 35% of the government's revenue for this current financial year to come from citizenship by investment. And it was the largest single revenue item on the government's books, having moved up very aggressively from only 6.3% of total revenue in 2014-2015 to 35.5% in 2016-2017. Two financial years later. However, based on the conduct of the government, based on what the government has been telling us in the last couple of months, and based on figures mentioned by the Prime Minister in terms of various projects to be done and various things to be financed by citizenship by investment, that amount would have risen significantly to probably over 40%. 40% of current revenue to come from citizenship by investment. So you can understand if you're dependent on one revenue item for 40% of your income and you are under stress to bring in that money, all of which is going to come from the outside world and has to come through the global banking system, then a problem emerges. So in the budget of 2016-2017, the debate in July last year, we observed $171 million was from the revenue, was supposed to come from the CBI revenues for the capital projects. That total funding package was about $313 million. And we noted the IMF's caution to the government that the outlook of the government was very sensitive to the performance of grant financing and citizenship by investment revenues. And those citizenship by investment revenues are inherently uncertain, according to the IMF, and subject to a sudden stop. My observation in the budget presentation was the government was not being faithful to its commitment to deal with issues like money laundering right here in Dominica. And so to the extent that the source of money to pay for passports presented money laundering challenges, this government did not at the time appear to have the moral authority to be dealing with that. And we're seeing the effect of it now, because as I said last year, a budget cannot be successfully put together and implemented in these circumstances by persons proud to be operating without the moral compass and playing by the rules. No law, no constitution seems to constrain them. They were refusing last year to answer the question, where did they get the authority from, the constitutional authority, to keep hundreds of millions of dollars outside of the consolidated fund, but monies that came through the citizenship by investment program. So that question now, where the IMF was advising Dominica to press ahead with efforts to improve financial regulation and supervision and to strengthen its anti-money laundering and counteracting of financing terrorism legislation, I ask in the parliament, what is our record on those issues? Because we have been passing anti-money laundering legislation under FATF pressure to comply. Then we pay lip service instead of taking action specifically when the complaints involve people who know people who know people. We had the case, and you'll be familiar with this, Matt, of a certain operative in the CBI area in Dominica attempting to move into his private bank account $1.5 million, claiming it to be from the sale of passports. Now, if you're operative of the citizenship by investment unit, where would you get the authority to have $1.5 million coming into your private account when you are an employee of the state in that particular institution? So 1 month after the budget in 2015, remember, the Prime Minister was in Macau with John Ash, with Francesco Lorenzo, with Francis Lorenzo, with NG Lapsang, doing whatever. He was signing there some arrangement for some technology transfer center in Dominica to be funded by Lapsang and so on. And then these gentlemen ended up in trouble with U.S. law. NG Lapsang, Francis Lorenzo still awaiting trial. John Ash died while awaiting trial. Mr. Skerritt is on free. Then we had the disclosure in the Panama Papers. Those were legal records about politicians, criminals, and the rogues industry that hides their cash. Names of Dominican individuals and companies came up in those papers following the revelations from Revenue Britain that some of those individuals were fronting for multi-million dollar offshore companies. The government of Dominica, you'll recall, Matt, from an address in Paris, was listed in the Panama Papers as the shareholder of a company in which it had secured 51% interest in the BVI case in 2009. So I'm coming with all this to show you the dodgy nature of the operations of the government, where instead of being bold, upfront, and clear in its fight against money laundering, it seems to be hedging and playing games. Now, the government, as I told you, made a big song and dance about citizenship by investment revenue as its new major source of income. But it made passing mention of de-risking. Now, de-risking is this practice where banks, global banks, global financial institutions, international banks, are closing the accounts of clients who they perceive to be high risk for money laundering and for terrorism financing abuse. The closure of a Dominica government account and the refusal, the decision by local branches of international banks not to touch the citizenship by investment money can only be for either or both of those two reasons: money laundering concerns or financing of terrorism abuse concerns. So here's where we are now. I said then, right, the government was making passing mention of this de-risking issue, almost dismissive of the fact that hundreds of millions of dollars to come from the citizenship by investment are under direct threat from de-risking. I made that point forcefully in the parliament in July of last year, that yes, you're coming with all these monies that you're projecting to raise from citizenship by investment, but there's a risk if you're not able to clean up the source of those funds and satisfy the banking world that they're free from influences of money laundering and the financing of terrorism. The national budget, I said, if it was so going to be so heavily reliant on CBI revenue coming through the global financial network, the government should be playing a leading role in the CARICOM lobby for a solution. And I asked the question, are we going to wait until 2017 budget for the government to report that it was not their fault? They could do nothing, couldn't do anything that they wanted to do because they were de-risked, right? Now, in the budget last year, the Prime Minister said, quote, global banks have either terminated or threatened to terminate their correspondent banking relationships with some local banks in the region. From a survey undertaken by the World Bank, the Caribbean has been identified as one of the geographic regions likely to be seriously affected. It has very little to do with the actions or inactions of government, but has to do with the decision taken by larger banks. Correspondent banking relationships are critical for enabling key financial and economic transactions, and the loss of these relationships will have serious economic impact. CARICOM has devised a strategy, and we are actively engaged in discussions to seek to address this ongoing matter. So that's where he left it. What has happened months later, Matt, is that we're seeing the government struggling now to bring citizenship by investment revenues into Dominica. Banks have de-risked the government, international banks in Dominica. Its accounts have been closed at one international bank local, with a local branch. And it is struggling to bring in money on a regular basis as normal in the local bank, now the indigenous bank in which it has shares, because of the concerns of the correspondent bank of the local bank, the Bank of America, with the source of the monies coming into the program. So already you have seen an amount of over $20 million frozen. And we're hearing now of an amount of over $10 million that has been returned in recent times, which puts the government under pressure to meet its expenditure commitments. Because, as I said, it has shifted the revenue dependence of the state onto citizenship by investment, but it is unable to protect the inflow of citizenship by investment revenue. Not because people don't like Mrs. Skerritt, not because people are saying that Mrs. Skerritt needs to be transparent, Mrs. Skerritt needs to be accountable, not because they're criticisms of the program, but because Mrs. Skerritt and his team are failing to do what needs to be done. Mrs. Skerritt and his team now stand exposed to the entire world on this question of due diligence, which is so critical to the protection of CBI revenues. They boast that they do due diligence on the applicants, and the evidence is surfacing now that they don't, because in fact, if they had due diligence on the persons that the Bank of America is asking for due diligence reports on, they'd only be too happy to provide it so that the funds can be released. But we are hearing that even people who have their passports, the government is now scrambling through its CBI unit to see if they can get due diligence done on them. But they have their passports already. This mat is a major issue. And while the government needs to be coming clean and addressing the nation on it and telling the people what precise steps they are taking to resolve it, they are busy arresting members of the parliamentary opposition, holding them for questioning, and creating a diversion away from the critical issues that they face and must resolve at this time. So, Matt, I'm here this morning to call on the government to do what is right, to protect the citizenship by investment revenues. And what the government has to do is what other Caribbean jurisdictions are doing, and doing well, in that they are dutifully and in a very disciplined way sticking to their due diligence programs and ensuring that where there are prohibitions, areas of the world where there are prohibitions from people doing that sort of business, then we don't get involved in that.
Well, what is your gut feeling? Why the reluctance to provide the information?
The due diligence? Because they don't have it. They never did it. And word is surfacing now that there's a major due diligence company that the government has done work with that is, for example, denying claims from the government side that it did due diligence on Alireza Monfarad. Part of the problem, a major part of the problem this government faces is that even though the sale of diplomatic passports is not part of the citizenship by investment program, the world is watching what we are doing with the sale of diplomatic passports. And the banking industry may well be asking itself, if your diplomatic passports, not ordinary passports, you know, diplomatic passports, the ones you hand to people who do work for you in the international community, who represent you in the international community, if these passports are ending up in the hands of crooks and criminals all around the world, how can we trust the system that you're using to place your passports, your ordinary passports, in the hands of people around the world? So there are two fronts on which the government needs to act, and act urgently. The government needs to stop the sale of diplomatic passports. And the government needs to be honest and disciplined in ensuring that the due diligence is done and the compliance with anti-money laundering, the compliance with the money laundering defenses, and the compliance with the compliance measures against the financing of terrorism abuses and so on are satisfied. Unless we do that, we are sending the program to hell in a handbasket, and the government will soon find that the revenue expectations, as it is finding now, I'm saying we are in the early stages of the government not meeting its revenue expectations under the program because of the difficulties with the banking system and the money, the quality of money being used to pay for passports. But people are not going to look kindly on you in the international banking circles where you, as the government, are selling diplomatic passports to people who end up to be crooks. If the people who have our diplomatic passport have no issue, then there's no issue, you know. But when so many of them are ending up with convictions or accusations or charges for criminal behavior in the international community, that presents a serious problem for us. And that is why we're saying this shaming and this disgracing and this defamation of the name of Dominica in the international community is working against the future well-being and progress of the citizenship by investment unit. And that is squarely in the court of Roosevelt Skerritt and his team that have refused to do what needs to be done about it. Antigua is not having those issues. Grenada is not having those issues. St. Lucia is not having those issues. St. Kitts and Nevis is not having those issues. So notwithstanding all the boasts that the Skerritt administration is making about the citizenship by investment unit, it is not protecting the program. It is not running the program in a way that will ensure its longevity. It is actually killing the program right now. And it must be held responsible for it and for the actions that need to be taken now to safeguard citizenship by investment revenues in Dominica.
We have two other members of the opposition United Workers Party in the house with me, Joseph Isaac, Rosa MP, and of course, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. They're going to share a few comments on this development.
Yes, good morning, Matt, and good morning to Dominica. Just wanted, first of all, thank all the people, family, friends, supporters, for being there for me when I was arrested. You'd see my demeanor. For me, to me, if you're protected by God, you don't have to worry. So I've never been worried about that. I'm a very focused person, innocent person in a matter. On that matter, also, I'd like to say that anybody who is trying to invent crimes on citizens, especially crime that deals with treason, the people or the person can never be really genuine. And that person is not really your friend. They're looking to hurt you in the worst way. Because treasonous crimes are punishable by death, life sentence. So anybody who is trying to do that is an evil person, especially when they know they're trying to invent something on you. That's all I want to say on that matter. Also, I know my mother, she has been calling and talking. So I just want to tell her, just stay calm, you know, everything is okay. On that same matter, I just wanted to say another thing. During the incident after the meeting in Roseau, you know, we have already said that we are not happy how things turned out after, you know. And we said that sometimes when things happen, we must look deeper than what that just happened. So Dominica has a lot of social issues we need to deal with. However, I am a person, as you know me, Matt, and all my colleagues know me, I'm a straightforward person. I don't like to take blame for things that I didn't do. In a specific matter, Duncan's store building was stoned by some people. They tried to pin it on me. Duncan Stowe had cameras. He had an idea, but he never came to my defense. It's now on the court record that a young man admitted on court records that he stoned Duncan Stowe building because Duncan Stowe was having a relationship with his girlfriend. I don't want to go into any further matter, but I want the public to know. I want the people of Roseau to know the MP is not a person that get involved in those things. I'm a genuine person. I dare to represent people. I use all my abilities and I make the sacrifices to represent. So I just wanted to clarify that. Now, during the election campaign, there's something I really like about what the Labour Party was doing in their campaign. And they said, and I'll just give you a specific one. They said that leadership is everything. I really like that phrase. I think anywhere in the world, that phrase in a campaign would have been a nice, buoyant phrase to use, and I really liked it, you know? So, in fact, when I went to Parliament, I agreed with them that leadership is everything. And I tried to point out to them that leaders need to be honest. Leaders need to be open to discussion. Leaders need to show genuine compassion and be genuine in what they do. Well, you know, the speaker blocked me on that matter. So now I'm back on it. But specifically to deal with three matters, but I'm going to deal with one today. The first one is our diplomatic passport and the issue of the risking and the impact on Dominica. The another one is electoral reform. And then the last one will be jobs. So we're placing the Labour Party administration on notice that electoral reform will be the major issue after that matter, the diplomatic passport. So after the Prime Minister resigned, whoever is there still need to deal with the issue of electoral reform. And no matter who take over, we still need to deal with the issue of unemployment. But this morning, I want to focus on the issue of diplomatic passport. Our leader have already articulated what we have said, and he specifically have said in Parliament. But you know, when you're in Parliament, it ending up in more uproar because of the situation with the Speaker. So sometimes people lose what we're saying. I'm saying, since leadership is everything, as a leader of a country, you must take responsibility when things go good or when things go bad. In the matter of the diplomatic passport, up till now, we have not heard the Prime Minister say, well, things went bad, so we have fired a due diligence company because we blame in them.
Also, you cannot be making mistake 8 times, 10 times and say it's a mistake still. It would mean that what you are doing through your policies or your action or inaction is damaging our image, and you must take the responsibility since leadership is everything. In that matter, because I'm coming to the de-risking issue, because I don't want us to lose focus on the matter, this diplomatic passport issue. Because I personally, imagine they arrested me, I still don't have no grudge with nobody. In fact, I went to one of our leading spiritual leaders and we reasoned, and he prayed for me and he seen my demeanor, that's cool. Because I know what I'm doing is right. Jesus was indicted for treason and crucified by his own people. So you don't have to worry that. Ambrose George was alleged to be associated with his childhood friend. I'm not going to call his name. His childhood friend and long-term political ally. But his members of cabinet decided that because of the childhood friend ills, he got arrested in the U.S. territory. They made a decision collectively to fire Ambrose George. Now, since leadership is everything now, we have our leader of our country being associated with diplomats, dodgy diplomats that is, who have been arrested. Monfared arrested was in Dominica. Corralo arrested, had our diplomatic passport. Madueke had our diplomatic, imagine before I didn't really know all the names. But now that is centerpiece in my mind now. NG Lapsing, the man said in the court, in the BVI, leadership is everything. He said that our leaders, I don't talk about the United Workers Party, the Labour Administration leaders were in Macau and he paid for sexual favors, give them gifts in chain, gold and watch. And I'm talking to every Dominican this morning. We agree. It was a good campaign slogan. Leadership is everything. I agree with that. And therefore, I'm saying that now after we went to Parliament, explain to you that your actions or inactions in regards to our diplomatic passport and the economic citizenship will put Dominica in problem if you don't do the right set of things. And now, we are in serious, serious problem. I don't want to go in the explanation and the technical issues of the de-risking. All I can say is we'll have a massive impact on our economy. And therefore, without any grudge or grudgeful feeling, without any negative talk on the Prime Minister, I'm sticking strictly based on the facts. You understand? And I'm asking the Prime Minister, if you really genuinely think leadership is everything, that means leadership can damage the image or leadership can uplift the image of a country. I'm asking him to resign. And here my last argument on that matter. I want to go based on facts. Here in Dominica, we are hearing things all over the world on CBS. We are in the Rejoc interview. We are in the Bachelor program, etc. Talk show. And based on that, as members of parliament, since leadership is everything, we have to be concerned and we must articulate the views of the masses and the people on the ground. So some of us start articulating and saying, well, something is wrong, this and that. The Prime Minister goes in disrespectful mode when the leader of opposition write to him. And you know what he did? He did not write back. He has a lawyer write back talking about a lawsuit. But hear that. Here it is, international media is impacting on our tourism industry, damaging our image. Our leader is not taking any action to stop it. Not even a phone call to those people based on, I'm talking about what he's saying, he have not told us yet. Well, hey, I made a phone call to CBS and tell him stop that nonsense because we'll take legal action. He has not done that. He has not taken any legal action. I'm telling the Prime Minister this morning that me, the MP for Roseau, I'm willing, leadership is everything, so I'm showing leadership in Roseau now. I am willing to endorse any request by the Prime Minister to get funds from Parliament to take a lawsuit action against those international organizations. I will lobby all my members to agree with that. Because we build a bridge for 18 million. So I'm asking now let us go in an emergency meeting in Parliament for us to approve a money for the Prime Minister to protect Dominica's name and the tourism industry by suing CBS, suing Rejoke, suing Bachelor Show. I stand there with him on that matter. Statesmanship now this morning. Country first. I'm asking the Prime Minister to do that. I will put it in writing to show how serious I am. I'm going to write the Prime Minister an open letter giving him that support for us to take legal action against those international media houses. Because Dominica first, not before. I can't put myself in that. I'm a small man in that matter. And the leader of opposition is just a man, the Prime Minister. So Dominica first. And I'll end by saying, because I don't want to talk too much. I'll end by saying, if you have a son or a daughter, a cousin or a brother, who is doing wrong, consistently doing wrong, you have to tell the person you are doing wrong. But you still love your brother, you still love your sister or your cousin, but you have to tell them you are doing wrong. And if what the person is doing is so wrong, you have to take action. You have to take the action. Our action we want to take is to ask the Prime Minister in a peaceful, nice way to resign. You have other 14 other members of Parliament on your side. You must be able to identify one person to take over. We will give the person the moral support so Dominica can be stable and everything can go well. And finally, I want to tell everyone...
So this is not about the opposition United Workers Party taking over government?
No. Remember I told you a long time, my party is only for power was up. Labour Party has 15 seats. Leadership is everything. Those members of on the Labour Party side, members of Parliament, have to show leadership. They have to take up the mantle and say, okay, things are going wrong. The Prime Minister have made so many mistakes and errors as the leader. It don't necessarily have to be he that do it direct. He's aware. He has not defended. He has not fired any due diligence company. He has not come and say what he has done. He's hiding, ducking, everything. So we are saying there are other members of Parliament on the Labour side that need to show leadership and ask the Prime Minister to resign because he's damaging the country. I just said that we are willing to give him, willing, and I'm discussing some of my members already, they are willing also to give him parliamentary approval to sue those international media houses. I was just going to end by saying, Matt, I'd like the Dominican public to know, you know, carnival is our culture. I want everybody to just stay calm, stay peaceful, enjoy the carnival, you know. You'll see me in town, but just enjoy your carnival. And really, honestly, especially the ghetto youth and them, you know, sometimes during the carnival, somebody trouble you and you react. I'm asking you to just stay calm. Do not look for trouble, you know, because at the end of the day, your family that going to be in only pain. So we're calling for a peaceful carnival, you know, one love carnival.
All right, we'll take Thompson Fountain after we take a break here. This is Q5 Radio.
Our agencies. Splash Unichunks is now available for wholesale and retail. Splash is a delightful combination of 80% yellowfin tuna and a 20% skipjack tuna. The best of two worlds. Enjoy the fresh taste of Splash Tuna Chunks in oil and water. Create the most delicious recipes of Splash Tuna Chunks. Enjoy a healthy salad, a flavorful sandwich, or an exquisite pasta. And remember, every day can be a flavorful day of Splash Tuna Chunks. Don't think it twice. Try Splash Tuna now, which is of top quality at affordable prices. Distributed by Hara Agencies. Visit Hara Agencies today on 90 King George 5th Street for a flavorful, tasty Splash Tuna Chunks.
Dominica, it's on! The first annual Domlek Northeastern Booyah vs. Soca Monarch 2017 BVSM. come with their seven competitors. The Gem, Classic, King Stout, Inches, Dover, Giovanni, and Basic as they compete for the ultimate main stage title. Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. It's BVSM. Also featuring guest live appearances by C Squared, featuring Cornell Phillip and Carlene XP, Too Greedy, White Fairy, and just added Booyah Boss, Ace of Banton. Yes, Ace of Banton, and more with Easy Juggling by DJ Flames out of St. Kitts and Nevis, DJ Flip the Boss, Versatile DJ A-Star, DJ Slim from Unstoppable DJs, and more. BVSM 2017, Where's That Court? The Carnival Village Marigot Commonwealth of Dominica. From 7 p.m. till Thursday, February 21st, 2017. Domlek BVSM, you can't miss it. This event is supported by Domlek, Mag Squad Promotions out of St. Kitts and Nevis, Kubli Beer, Digicel, Alan Cal Promotions, Ultrasonic Records, Flipside Records, Jedi Songs, the Marigot Activities Committee, and the Marigot Development Corporation, Digicel Play, Happy Car Rental, Q95 FM, Belfast Estate Limited, the Virtual Band, Marigot Cooperative Credit Union, Hope Constructions, Paradise View Apartments, BVSM 2017. Be there!
All right, good morning again. We are on the hot seat this morning. We have three opposition parliamentarians in the house with us this morning. But before I move on to Thompson Fontaine, Caledonian Baptist has some interesting developments as it relates to the police and what's going down with their investigations. Caledonian Baptist.
Hi, Matt. Morning to you. Well, we have a number of matters to deal with. I'm going to deal with them rather quickly this morning. The first one has to deal with the Calypso competition, of course, the Calypso finals. Matt, you're aware that the judges were selected yesterday, and dealing with that, people are expressing concern, Matt, that among the eight judges who were selected, you have Celia Maxwell, Trudy Christian, Reginald Lafleur, Michael Augustine, Evelina Baptiste, Garford Joseph, Marlon Marie, and Eustace Thomas, the reserves Ronald Smith and Nadine Revere. You will recall, Matt, that Garford Joseph, he judged the elimination. He did not do the semis or the quarters. His name came up for the semis, and Calypsonians expressed concerns that he making a lot of comments about their Calypsos on Facebook, and so concerns were raised as to he being a competent judge. And lots of talk came about until he was removed from the semifinals. His name was put back in the bag for the finals, and it was dipped, regrettably so. And Calypsonians again expressing concerns about that. My information, Matt, is that you have besides 1, 8, 9, 10, there were only two more names in the bag. We have a number of Calypso judges in Dominica. And my information, my credible information, is that after they did the dipping, only two more names was left in the bag. Can you imagine that? And people are asking why Garford Joseph seems to be just popping up all of a sudden, who is publicly, was gone public on Facebook, criticizing Calypsos. He had nothing good to say about the Calypsos of Dice and, of course, of Psy. And a few other political Calypsos. Of course, we know Garford, who he is. He's an operative of the government, and he speaks his mind as it relates to that. And of course, he said we know he's been on Facebook saying he's come into Calypso to discipline a few Calypsonians, and you have him there now at a finals. I would have thought that Garford's name would have been dumped for eternity, not come and mess up the ad form. So I'm asking on the authorities concerned, get that name off the list. It's not fair to the Calypsonians. And I'm sure they're going to be hearing from Calypsonians and other people as it relates to that. We have no problems with the other people there, but the name Garford Joseph, you cannot be a judge, Matt, and be out there speaking publicly on matters. Have you heard any magistrate or judge speaking on matters that they have to deal with? Absolutely not. And it just cannot be good for the art form. We have too much controversies in Calypso's to have someone there come and put more controversies in it. Point number one. Point number two, Matt, I went on a lawyer's Facebook page yesterday where his name is Clement Joseph. He was working in the office of the Director of Public Prosecution in Dominica, and he moved to the British Virgin Islands, where he is, I think, deputy director of public prosecutions. He's holding a big post there, and he's been going across the region lecturing on various aspects of law. When the president issued this statement yesterday, that statement, regrettably, Mr. Joseph, a lawyer and a very competent lawyer by profession, wrote on his Facebook page, and I quote, "A civics legal lesson for the President of the Commonwealth of Dominica in reference to his statement released today." That was yesterday. This is the same person who, as president of the then Civil Service Association, led the violent demonstration of our young nation and the ultimate downfall of the democratically elected government. Chapter 1501 of the Public Order Act of Dominica does not ever require anyone to apply for permission to keep a public meeting. Section 7 speaks to the power to prohibit a public meeting. The law only authorizes the minister to issue an order that can prevent a meeting. To date, since our independence, only one such order was issued by Edison James as Prime Minister to declare that no public meeting could be held in Mahu on 26 August 1996. For weeks, the opposition had advertised their meeting, and if the minister wanted to prevent it, he should have issued an order. The Public Order Act gives the Chief of Police no powers to set time and place of a meeting. So if he purports to do or have done so, it would be null and void in law. The very president in his statement said that, quote, "permission was given by the Chief of Police for the holding of a public meeting," unquote. When the law does not give the Chief of Police any such power, more to dictate terms and conditions. To date, no one has been arrested and or charged for breach of these so-called conditions. How is then that the president can say it is ultimately for the courts to determine whether the terms and conditions agreed upon for the holding of the meeting were adhered to? Is there something he knows that we don't? Has he given directions for the arrest and charge of persons for failing to adhere to those bogus, unlawful conditions? And that is the extent of his statement. And he quotes sources of law, chapter 1501, and you can access that at www.dominica.gov/dm/laws, chapter 15. And of course, he quoted the civic teacher, one class 101, and of course, he stated the various acts that he quoted. That is a statement on the Facebook page of attorney at law, of course, a former police officer of the Commonwealth of Dominica, attorney at law, Clement Joseph, who worked in the Office Director of Public Prosecutions and who is working in the BVI as a DPP. He's available, Matt. He's going to court at 9 o'clock. He says that he's available. It's clear he's available.
Well, tell him, Kala John Baptist, I'm going to contact him at 1 o'clock during lunchtime.
Yes. He said if he cannot make it for this morning, he's available for 1 o'clock during his lunch break to further expound on that.
John Baptist, thank you very much. But Kalai, before you go, because I need to get Thompson Fountain to give a quick analysis of course, the discussion this morning. What are you hearing out of the CID, Kalai?
But I have been hearing a lot. Lots of things are going wrong. A lot of stuff, Matt. A lot of stuff is going on. My sources indicate that some sort of warrants which were which went out to be signed, and they were not signed, Matt. Those who have to sign the warrants are expressing disappointment and are saying, when will it end? When will it end? When will it end? When will it end? You keep coming with warrants, keep coming with warrants, but when will it end?
You mean so magistrates are now refusing to sign warrants?
Matt, all I'm saying to you, because remember, you don't only have magistrates, you have justices of the peace. But in cases like that, it is better to go to a magistrate to get warrants signed. So because you would need to tell the magistrate why you want those warrants signed.
Can you tell me anything, Kalaa John Baptist? Because I'm getting some information to suggest that two of the top members of CID are asking for transfers because they're not very happy with what is going on at CID, because they're saying basically that it seems like it's political interference in the matter of the police. Are you hearing anything about that?
I'm hearing a lot about that, Matt, a lot about what people are saying that is political interference. And you must be aware, Matt, that the inside there's a core of individuals, and I have a lot of regard for the head of the CID now, I think, is Superintendent Matthew Coffey, Matt.
Is he acting in that position?
He's acting. And of course, we know Matthew Coffey is a very, very competent individual. He was the one, incidentally, the commander in charge of the operations on the day of the protest action on February 7th. And he was the one in charge of that. He is the one heading the CID. Remember, he was removed from the CID, sent to traffic. He did a very, very good job. He's a top investigator, not only in Dominica, but regarded as a top investigator in the region as well. And he's highly regarded. He's not regarded as someone, Matt, who is political at all.
Let me ask you a quick question, because we have limited time. Are you aware, Kalyle, that some foreign police, I'll call them foreign police for now, are in Dominica to analyze statements made by the opposition?
Not statement made by the opposition, Matt. Statement made by what the Prime Minister said was his intelligence. So statement made by police officers who said they had intelligence. That is what they are there for.
So they have to bring in people from the outside to analyze. But Kalyle, we'll continue having that discussion at 1 o'clock. There's a lot more that we can talk about. But let me give Thompson Fontaine a few minutes to wrap it up this morning, because we have a next stop this morning. Yes, Thompson Fontaine, your thoughts on the discussions this morning there.
Good morning to you and to our listeners. Let me just say very quickly that what we've been warning about all of these years, we think is upon us right now. The recent difficulties the government is experiencing with regards to accessing its own funds through the CBI program does not augur well for the country. And we might very soon begin to see issues locally with regards to even government meeting the obligations with regards to payment of salaries and other expenses.
So where's the NEP money going to come from there?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, we without access to those funds, you have a problem. And the question then becomes, why is there a problem? If you're saying that this is your money that was obtained legally through the sale of passports, why are they having difficulties getting the monies through the international banking system? And it is very important for us to let the Dominican public know that, because I suspect the government will at some point begin to blame the opposition and say that we are the cause of this. But it is very clear to me that the international community is taking a stand. They are not satisfied with the due diligence surrounding the sale of the passport. And because of that, they're putting some serious pressures on the government. And we're having issues, as we're told, of the monies coming into Dominica. So just want to alert Dominicans to be on the lookout. We should have our first major test, of course, this weekend, with the payment of salaries due for the carnival and for the February month end. In addition, Matt, we must know that because the economy is in such difficult problems, VAT is not doing anything much. In other words, domestic revenue generation is almost non-existent in this country because the economy is so battered and bruised by the actions of this government, that their heavy reliance on CBI money means that if this money cannot get into the country, that government operations may very well come to a standstill. And that is something that Dominicans need to be aware of as a very real possibility. And they must put the blame squarely at the foot of the government, because it's their reluctance to do what they have been calling for, due diligence, to be transparent, to be accountable. These are the reasons why we are where we are today. And I hope, for the sake of Dominica, that this scenario does not materialize. But I fear, Matt, from my own professional judgment, that we will very soon be in that position where the government does not have access to funds and the government operations will very well fold up.
You said fold up?
Fold up, yeah. Because without the ability to pay for goods and services, without the ability to pay your public servants, you have serious problems.
All right, Lila Clinton, you want to close it up for us in 60 seconds, please?
Yeah, Matt, I'm closing this morning with, of course, a wish to the people of Dominica for a peaceful, incident-free carnival. Joseph Isaac said it well earlier. That's our culture. And it is something that we enjoy around this time every year, and something that we should enjoy in the wonderful spirit of community and in the wonderful spirit of peace on earth and goodwill to men. But Matt, listen to this. I have a question for Francine Baron to close. And the question is, Madam Minister of Foreign Affairs, could you kindly advise the people of Dominica how many diplomatic passports have been cancelled since the 1st of January 2017? Who cancelled those diplomatic passports and why were they cancelled? How many diplomatic passports have been cancelled since January 1st, 2017? Who cancelled the passports and why? If you know, Madam Foreign Minister, maybe you don't know. So if you know, just provide information. Don't send any more. Don't send it. I see some money passing there. don't send any lawsuits. Just send the information. Do you or do you not know how many diplomatic passports have been cancelled since the 1st of January 2017? God bless you, Matt. There's a lot more to come. And have a good carnival yourself, Matt. Are you going to be in the streets,
John? I'll be observing.
You'll be observing?
Yeah, like you, I suspect. We'll take care of yourself.